Thus reads the word of God. Now, I did read to you earlier from Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you take nothing more from this morning's service, that would be a good verse to settle in your hearts. And I'll tell you now why I read it. I have an annual habit or practice, and I do it between Midwinter's Night and Twelfth Night. So within that general Christmas time, New Year period, I sit down with my diaries and I reread them. Not the appointments diary, which says Bethel Rose, 10 a.m., but the one which says, today I preached at Bethel Roast to a vast congregation of Holy Ghost-filled people. It doesn't say that either, unfortunately, but the one that's written like that in prose and says what I've done, what I thought, what's happened to me. I don't write every day. I don't even write every week. But when something important seems to have happened or to have come to mind, I write it down. And I reread the diary on a 10-year cycle. So you will quickly work out that at the end of last year, I read 1972, 1982, 1992, 2002, 2012, and 2022, because we are in 2023. That was the last of the 10-year cycle. Why do I do that? O my soul, forget not all his benefits. It's one of my ways of remembering what I've learnt in my walk with God over the years. God's kindness to me, God's leading, God's providence, my mistakes and when I've got it wrong, and maybe why I've got it wrong. And also the things I've done that I've got right, so that I can learn from my mistakes and from when I was walking right, and hopefully avoid the mistakes and repeat walking with God in what is right. So there I am, Christmas time, 2022 to the beginning of 23, and I get to 1972, and I find some sermon notes, 1972, and I'll tell you when, the 31st of August, 1972, before I even met you good people. And on that day, I stood up at the Strict Baptist Chapel in Hadlow, which is in Kent, and I preached that sermon. And as I looked through those notes, you know what I thought, don't you? You can guess what's coming. I reckon that might be suitable for Bethel Rose, even though it's more than 50 years later. I haven't preached a sermon anywhere else at all, as far as I know, but I found those notes and I thought, what a pity to waste them. So that's what we're going to be looking at now, a sort of repeat of the Strict Baptist sermon in 1972. And I began with Ephesians chapter 2. So I'm going to read from that, verses 19 and 20. You are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So they were talking about the Holy Spirit in the church, and today is Whit Sunday. That's why it seemed appropriate. And it tells us that we are being built into the house or household of God for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, that we are being joined together and growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So that is the congregation. That is the body of Christ joined together. When they meet, the Holy Spirit is there in the midst. Now, if you go back a few pages to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, you will find this. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live in them and move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So there we have it again. We are the temple of the living God. So my mind began to go along the lines of what is the temple? What was the temple? It's a dwelling place of God, we know. One other thought before we look at the temple itself. Back to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have two thoughts about the temple. One is when the whole people of God are gathered together, whether it's two or three or four, or whether it's 2,000, it matters not. God is there if it's the people of God dwelling within them, dwelling among them. But each individual person is himself and herself the temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So I thought, what could we say about the temple? And what could we learn about the life of our church? And what can we learn about our own daily life from looking at the temple in the Old Testament? And so I turned to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6 and verse 2. Solomon has just completed the building of the temple, King Solomon, a temple for God, which stood for so long and was so beautiful. And this is what he says in verse 2. I have built thee an exalted house, a place for thee to dwell in forever. You see the link? It was a building. And Solomon built it as a place for God to dwell in forever. And then when we get on to verses 12 and 13, we find him at prayer. And this is what he prays in verses 12 and 13. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hands. Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the court, and he stood upon it. Then he knelt upon his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. So here's the king on his knees in the temple, which he believes is a dwelling place for God, and he's praying. So what does he pray? Verse 20, that thy eyes may be open day and night toward this house, the place where thou hast promised to set thy name, that thou mayest hearken to the prayer which thy servant offers toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they pray toward this place. Now remember, he was looking at a particular building. We're not looking at Bethel Chapel, unless it happens to be where we meet one day, which is what we're doing today. But we are thinking of ourselves gathered as a body of people. That's the temple of God. Remember, this church, when it began, met in the upstairs room of a pub. We didn't have a chapel. We met in a pub. That was just as much, that gathering of people, the dwelling place of God, as anywhere else where God's people meet. So, when God's people are together, that gathering should be a place of prayer. We should be praying together. And remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you and I need to cultivate a life of prayer. Now, I might pray in my study. That's one thing I do morning by morning. I get my first cup of coffee so that I'm reasonably awake. I go into the study and I get my Bible and I pray and read the Bible. But that's not the only time I pray. I might pray up on the mountains. It doesn't matter where we are. We can pray. And our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, should be a place of prayer. And so should the gathering of the Lord's people. So a place of prayer. Secondly, a place of blessing. Look at verse 26. This is continuing Solomon's prayer. When heaven is shut up, and there's no rain because they've sinned against thee. Right now, the people of God have gone wrong. They've sinned. And God is disciplining them. If they pray toward this place and acknowledge thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants, thy people Israel, when thou dost teach them the good way in which they should walk, and grant rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people. Now, when I was up in the mountains yesterday, starting at World's End, and walking up to the Airman's Memorial, and then across to the Barrow, and then down towards the reservoir where they're working, and then around Bryn Other Flats and back to the car, I was looking at the wonderful green land of Wales. The heather is still fairly brown, but all the whin, beautifully green. The trees, beautifully green. And in other places, blossom on the trees. Wonderful. Grant rain upon thy land. And that rain was a blessing, not only in Wales, but when their prayers were answered. It is a place of blessing when God's people gather together and pray. And when you sit or walk or stand wherever and pray, you should yourself be a place of blessing. Verse 29, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by any man or by all thy people Israel, so that's an individual or all together, each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow and stretching out his hands towards this place, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling and forgive and render to each whose heart thou knowest according to all his ways. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. So a place of prayer, a place of blessing. And of course, when we do gather in the chapel, that's what we want. Prayer, blessing, that refreshing from the Lord's presence, just like the rain upon the hills in Wales. And one other thing, place of victory. Verse 34, if thy people go out to battle against their enemies, by whatever way thou shalt send them, and they pray toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. So go back to 1840, when this congregation was meeting in the upper room at the Bull, I think it was called, or the Bull's Head, can't quite remember. And go back to 1840 and come up to today. And the prayer that Solomon offered is, maintain their cause, a place of victory. And we need to be praying that for this congregation, for this cause. Your body, your own individual life, our church. And so we come on to chapter 7. How did God respond to all of this? When Solomon had ended his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the earth on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." The glory of the Lord came and filled that place. And I wonder what it would be like if the glory of the Lord came to our service, say this evening, and so filled the place that it was hard, if not impossible, to preach, and people were worshipping and praising God because they were so taken up with the glory and fullness of God in the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. That's what Rose had once, maybe more than once. And that's what we want. And some words of Jesus in John 17. Remember, this was the glory of the Lord in the temple. And remember that we and each one of us individually are temples of the Holy Spirit. John 17, verse 22. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That same glory, the same God, the same Spirit, which came in answer to Solomon's prayer, oh, may it come in answer to your prayer and mine and ours. To Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And 21, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Glory in the church by the Spirit of God. I know it's Whit Sunday, and that's why our thoughts are specifically on this theme, but it's what we want every week. One final verse, Acts 9 and verse 17. Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Let each one of us, because that was an individual then, let each one of us also be saying, in the words of the song perhaps, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, and may I be filled with the Holy Spirit." Amen. Now we're going to close with hymn 5, 6, 8. O anfon di yr ysbryd glân yn enw Iesu mawr.